there, Laura? Laura, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. So
okay.
Let's begin.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bikoa.
Anna Bikoa.
Gedula Tzimicha
Tzimicha
Barnashate Hivavra
umistera deita ate sumakata ama ita mechavavra vechivavra adif. Come and see. Rabbi Elazar said, every woman is considered to be of judgment, since they are rooted in the left column. It is so until she tastes the taste of mercy. That is, marries a man. As a male is rooted in the right column, which is chesed and mercy. We learn that it is from the side of the man that white is produced, such as the bones of the fetus, for he is of mercy. From the side of the woman comes the red of the fetus, the red of flesh and sinew, which are of judgment. When a woman tastes of the white, that is, when she is married to a man, white is more predominant in her. Through her root is the red, though her root is the red. This section is talking about two colors as a metaphor of the two sephirot, chesed and gevurah. And these two sephirot balance each other. And essentially, it's speaking of how the sephirot, male and the chesed and gevurah, and then male and female, and all of the dualities of the world, and in our world and in our lives, all are related to this aspect of chesed and gevurah. And this particular verse is explaining that women have their root in the left column, and men have their root in the white column, but in the mixing, by being married and through intercourse, through the injection of sperm into the woman, she becomes connected, more connected to mercy and chesed than she is by herself. And do you have any questions? In order to ask a question, you have to press star 6. So if I don't hear... Okay, I'm not hearing you. Please press star 6 again only if you have a question.
Can you hear me now?
I can. You have a question?
Yes. It means that if we are single, I'm not able to work with the right column, or it's
no,
harder
it does,
for...
It doesn't mean that at all. It means that a woman who is single, who has never experienced relations with a man, a virgin, she is more connected to the left column. Doesn't mean that she's doesn't have the ability to be involved with the right column, but her base is more connected to the left column. We know what the verse is really saying is that when a woman gets married and she becomes intimate with a man, she starts to change by virtue of that relationship, and that when she has a child, her body changes, and she's able to produce milk, which is white, which is clearly more sharing than, and the Talmud and the Zohar explain that production of milk is actually coming from the left column, coming from the desire to receive, which is what a woman is connected to. That's what it means by left column. It's not saying let the desire to receive for oneself alone. It's talking about the left column as the desire to receive. This would be true prior to the sin of Adam as well. And that's what this is describing. So it doesn't mean that a woman who never gets married, or even a woman who her whole life remains a virgin, she still is capable of connecting to the right column. But her nature, her basic connection is based on a left column. Well, we always have to understand that this is always relative to the soul involved. Because a woman who never gets married still has a soulmate in this world. They just haven't merited to get together. Is that clear?
It is, yes. That's our nature, to be connected with the left column. It doesn't matter if I am married or not. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And then when you are married, you become more connected to the right column and more concerned about your husband and your family and so forth. But it's also an indication of if somebody was married and then got divorced, they don't lose that connection to the right column. So it's really very rare for a woman or not to make that connection during a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Hanno. Do we have a topic to talk today?
Yeah, we had talked last week that you wanted me to start on an advanced class on astrology. So
okay.
I'm prepared to discuss that if you're in agreement.
Oh, good. I like to hear that.
Okay. So tonight's class is the Advanced Astrology Class 1. And there is a handout that's on the website that you can get. And I know you don't have access to a computer right now, but when you listen to the recording, if you do, then you can get it printed out. And it might be helpful to print it out anyway. So I'm going to give you the link. And eventually we'll have this class connected to the Revealed Wisdom Matrix so that you'll be able to connect to that. But right now the link is located at www.yeshem.com/. The words are Kabbalah Advanced Astrology Class 1.htm. And so it's spelled, Laura, please click star 6 because you're going in and out with the static.
Okay, let me press star 6.
That's better, thank you. So Kabbalah is spelled K-A-B-B-A-L-A-H, advanced, and then there's a hyphen connecting you to advanced, A-D-V-A-N-C-E-D, a hyphen connecting you to astrology, A-S-T-R-O-L-O-G-Y, a hyphen connecting you to class, C-L-A-S-S, a hyphen connecting to the number 1. It's not spelled out. It's a numeral 1. And then dot or period HTM. So we're going to start out with the history of Hebrew astrology. The first Hebrew astrologer was Abraham the patriarch, according to the Kabbalah. If you'll remember from the Bible, Abraham was born in Ur Kasdim, and he was forced to leave there, and he went to the land of Uz and other cities. The first location he moved to when after God told him to leave his birthplace. His father went with him, and then he was told to go on alone, and his father stayed. His father's name was Terah. But that whole area, which is Babylonia and Persia in today's world, that whole area of what we call the Middle East, or the eastern side of the Middle East, that area is very much and has always been involved with the idea of astrology, the science of astrology, and they're called the Chaldees, Chaldees. And Abraham, according to the Kabbalah, was the first astrologer. He studied the motion of the planets and the stars. And he realized the connection between those planets and events on Earth. Now, actually, it was a revelation to him. But we'll discuss that as we go on. The Bible itself does not use the names of the Jewish months. This was not used directly by the Jewish religion until the building of the Second Temple, and was not recorded per se until the writing of the Mishnah and the Gemara, or the Talmud, in approximately 200 to 600 of the Common Era. In the Torah, a few months are named. The second month is named the month of light. The eighth month is named the month of the flood. And there's a couple of others, but not all of the months are named. They're just called month one, month two, month three, and so forth to month 12. And there's a conflict in the academics as to whether the months that the Hebrew religion uses to call the months, Nisan, Taurus, Sivan, these are names that come out of the Chaldee area, out of the Persia, out of Iraq. It comes out of this area, and it was never used in the Torah, but it was used by the religion when the religion returned to Israel after the destruction of the first temple and the building of the second temple. And then when the oral law was written down in the Talmud, that is when we first see in writing these names of the month. But the Kabbalah teaches that all of these months, the names, were used by Abraham. He was aware of their names, and he was aware of the meaning of their names and involved with it. But if you actually look at a star chart, and somebody says to you, in this area of the sky, we're going to see the constellation Cancer. We're going to see a string of stars that look like a crab. It's extremely difficult to see that crab in those string of stars. It's not an intuitive connection. Or I should say it is an intuitive connection. It's not a physical, easily seen connection. And that's what I mean when I said that this information was revealed to Abraham. Astrology is very much part of the Bible. Astrology is very much part of the system, as we'll continue to learn. Abraham wrote a book of outreach to the people of his generation. This is called the Sefer Yetzirah. This book originally consisted of 400 chapters. This book taught the people of Abraham's generation how to experience and how to know God. Today we don't have 400 chapters. We only have 6 chapters that was reorganized and put into the writing during the time of Rabbi Akiva, who lived after the destruction or at the destruction of the temple, the first temple. At the destruction of the second temple. This book still teaches the same thing. The other 394 chapters, the information that was in that chapter, is available through the writings of the Talmud. It's not that the information was lost, but it was concealed and restructured. But the information in those 6 chapters of the Sefer Yetzirah essentially teaches us how to experience God, and also teaches the laws of reincarnation that are used by the Hebrew astrology. The rabbis of the Sanhedrin throughout the centuries would teach the techniques hinted at in the Sefer Yetzirah. They called it schools of prophecy. Most people do not realize that it is necessary to learn to be a prophet. Once one learns the techniques, then and only then will Hashem choose those who he wants to be prophets to the generation. These same techniques allow people to experience and know God in a way that is not available through other techniques. And these techniques are still being taught. And as Laura knows, she's attended many of my Sefer Yetzirah classes. The rabbis of the Second Temple and afterwards taught that astrology does not apply to the Jewish people. This teaching conceals a spiritual law, which we can reveal here. Each person chooses the most appropriate time and place of their birth so that they can achieve their correction, their tikkun, in this lifetime. The astrological influences affect every human being and are used as tools by Hashem to bring each person to situations and conditions that can be used to achieve his or her correction. When one uses the Kabbalistic tool called binding by striking, one can rise above the influence of these astrological influences, which carry with them the elements of judgment which we don't like. By rising above the astrological influence, the judgment we don't want, we bring mercy into our lives and actually change the movie of our life's karma. An example of this is the story of Abraham using his Hebrew astrology, reading, determined that he would not have children. He knew that he would not have children. He made his own astrological charts. He did his own reading, and he knew he would never have a child. Yet Hashem showed him how to rise above the astrological influences and achieve the ability to have a son, which was named Isaac. The story is that Hashem changed Abraham's name But what really happened is he injected Abraham with an additional soul. And that is why Abraham is the first Jewish soul. And by that additional soul, his name needed to be changed. And when his name was changed, representing his new combined soul of Abraham and Abraham, he was able to rise above the astrological influences that determined he wouldn't have a soul. But he is still influenced by the astrological influences based on the time of his new name, which is a new birth. By using the techniques of Kabbalah, primarily in the Rosh Chodesh, as we will come to understand, we're able to rise above the influences, the negative influences. But we want the positive influences. And there's no reason to rise above the positive influences. But the rabbis, all through history, have a problem. And this is not part of the discussion, but I'm going to explain it very clearly. When I say it's not part of the discussion, it's not part of the handout. But every monotheistic religion, any time you bring belief, and I usually don't use the word belief, and you know I don't mean belief, but I'm talking about knowledge. A monotheistic religion says there's one God. And the teachings of that monotheistic religion is be a better person tomorrow than you are today. Work on yourself. Be moral. Don't hurt people. These are the teachings of all of the monotheistic religions, including Muslim, until it was corrupted through various aspects, which is not part of this discussion. But the Catholic Church, the Christian religions, Jewish religion, and Muslim religion all teach the same aspect. There is one God, and we need to improve ourselves to reach the higher level of consciousness. But the rabbis and the religions have a problem, because astrology says whatever happens in the heavens is going to happen on earth. And therefore, everything that happens in the heavens is known. And therefore, everything that's going to happen on earth is known. And if all I have to do is read the heavens, then why should I work on myself? Why should I become a better person? Because everything that's going to happen is going to happen. And this is the conflict that monotheistic religions have. And this is the conflict that even the Eastern philosophies, like Buddhism, have. When you say there's a multiple gods, they get into conflict, these gods, like the Romans and the Greek gods got into wars and battles. And therefore, if I was a good person and I ended up with chaos in my life, it was because of the gods. It wasn't something that I caused. But the reality is, and according to Kabbalah, we are the cause of everything that happens to us. And if whatever is going to happen to us is known in the heavens, and I do the reading properly, why should I work on myself? This is the problem that monotheistic religions had, and their solution was to tell their people, astrology is wrong. It doesn't work. And as we have learned and talked about consciousness, if you think something doesn't work, it doesn't work. And if you have people who are not competent in their readings, they're not correct in their readings, and then you hear those readings, and all of a sudden it doesn't come true the way they describe, well, astrology gets a bad name. And this has been the history of astrology. Generally, the science and the aspect that came out of the area that Abraham grew up in. But it's not true when it comes to the full aspect of Hebrew astrology. And we'll continue to explain that. I'm now back in the write-up, in the handout. Astrology, until recently, has been part of science. Recently means until the last 500 years. Astrology is a science, just like physics is today. Physics today has the M theory, it has the string theory, it has the uncertainty principle. All of these aspects is a science. Astrology is like a science. It can be duplicated. The reading that one astrologer gives and the reading that another astrologer gives can be duplicated. They should be the same if they're learning. But of course, anybody who's ever gone to multiple astrologers has found that the readings are not the same. About 500 years ago, which is around 1600, there was a change in the church at that point. The Protestant Reformation happened. The Catholic Church's response was to differentiate itself from the new church, just as Judaism changed things when the Catholic Church challenged the structure of the Jewish belief system at the time of the destruction of the temple, first temple, or second temple, actually. Astrology has always been part of the Jewish worldview, yet there has always been some who perceived as part of the occult system, since it seemed to be a bit magical, and they did not know how it worked. If you weren't a practitioner of astrology, it was magic. And magic was occult, a negative aspect. Plus, as I discussed, the rabbis wanted their people to work on themselves, to become better, to be moral. And it wasn't astrology. If astrology worked, they didn't have to do that. It was silly for them to do that. But we'll come to explain this very shortly. It is difficult for a religion that teaches you to be better today than you were yesterday to accept that everything is preordained, since there is then no motivation to become better. It is only in the last 50 years that physics has developed a theory of multiple universes that allows for the acceptance of preordained, along with improving yourself at the same time, that can be understood as not mutually exclusive. As we teach in the Binding by Striking classes about multiple universe, the multiplex cinema, that the movie is the same. The movie is preordained. It's always known. It's never going to change. But you can change the movie. And that's how we balance and understand. Astrology works. It's preordained. It's telling us what this existing movie will do. But we don't have to stay in this existing movie. We can change the movie. This is what
we understand from Kabbalah. This is how we balance astrology and everything being preordained to free choice and accepting the change in the movie and improving ourselves, which is what creates that. We all understand the principle of gravity as science perceives it today. Let's put gravity in Kabbalistic terms. Every aspect of matter, anywhere in the universe, is desiring to connect and unify every other aspect of matter, wherever it might be in the universe. There are forces that pull matter from following this desire. As such, every aspect of matter is influencing all other aspects of matter. Gravity is the desire to receive. There is also influences that are not seen by our senses yet. We experience these influences from stars and planets, either on psychological levels or on esoteric levels. These influences are utilized by the Creator to influence human affairs. The study of these influences is called the science of astrology. A horoscope that applies to everyone is for entertainment purposes only. We go in the paper and read Sagittarius today is going to have this effect, and Scorpio today is going to have this kind of effect, and Taurus is going to have this kind of effect. These readings are entertainment only. They're not meant to be true readings and applied to an individual. It is not an accurate assessment of the astrological influences. Even though these items are to be dismissed as entertainment only, does not mean they're not waves that influence each person. Each group of people, all of humanity, humanity's quantum consciousness, and each other life entity in the universe, along with their groups and nations and quantum consciousness, everything is influenced by these psychological energies or these esoteric energies, or something that is coming from astrological bodies. Astronomy and astrology have always been considered linked. Approximately 200 years ago, these were split. In the Talmud, the sages were expert astronomers and astrologers. The normal human population found these sages frightening in that they could know the influences from the astrology that would impact a person hour by hour, day by day, and therefore their predictions came through accurately. In the Talmud in Tractate Shabbat, page 75a, it says that someone who does not know how to calculate the seasons and the mazalot, which are the astrological influences. We apply the verse from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 12. They give no credence to the plan of God and take no note of the work of his hands. Or in other words, we must become aware of the astrological influences to know the plan of God. This, of course, is contrary to most of the teachings from modern rabbis who study the Talmud academically and not experientially. the nations of old respected the sages of Israel due to their knowledge of the seasons and the mazalot, the astrological influences. The government of Rome was actually threatened by the impact of the knowledge of the sages, while the general population applauded and loved our sages due to this actually same knowledge, same wisdom. The people loved it because they got information about their lives. The government didn't like it because they didn't control it. The government of Rome could be said to be jealous of the knowledge of the sages, and that is why the process of taking control of Rome by the Jewish sages called Christianity manifested so easily because the people were already in love with the information. This is not readily taught for two reasons. It's not the way history is presented to us, but it is the way history revealed itself. The two reasons are the non-Jewish do not want to admit it, and the Jewish do not want to reveal it so that the academic world ignores it. That's why we don't have this presentation that I just gave you, this explanation for why things happened with religions and with the falling of governments and with the historical patterns of our world, why it's not revealed in our history books the way I just described it. Also in the Talmud, on Shabbat, the Tractate Shabbat, page 156a, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, if a person is born on Sunday, he will be entirely of one type, and there will be no other type within him. Another sage asks, can this really be true? That if someone is an evil person born on Sunday, he will not have any good within him? Rabbi Ashi says, I was born on Sunday, and everyone knows I am righteous. What is the Talmud expressing? Number one, it's expressing a spiritual law, an astrological influence law. But it's done in a coded way, and so let's decode it. What the Talmud is expressing is the concept of unity as it applies to astrology. People born on Sunday, which the Torah calls Yom Echad, will express unity by expressing an extreme. That's what the Talmud just said. The person has free will to become righteous or evil, a rasha. Yet their free will decisions will manifest to the extreme in either direction. If they choose to be evil, they will become evil, but be unified in the context of evil. If they choose to be righteous, they will become righteous and be unified in the context of righteous. Why is this? Because they were born on Sunday? No. And this is very important. This is very important as we're studying astrology. It's not the physical effect of somebody being born on Sunday that gives them this connection to the astrological influence of Sunday. But because they have chosen to come into this world on Sunday because that's the day, the influence, the astrological influence that will impact him, that is important for his correction. Always understand it's not the physical effect, but the spiritual cause that is being expressed by these teachings about astrology. this teaching from the Talmud is saying that the energy of the day that someone is born with will impact their personality and their character traits. This is why the Kabbalah teaches that the soul picks the time to come into the world astrologically, since the cause of a particular personality trait cannot be the physical birth on Sunday, but the spiritual birth on Sunday, to allow the astrological influence of Sunday to impact the person's decisions to go in the direction of extremism and unity. I hope that's clear to all. Here is what is written on the Hashem webpage regarding the tikkun of people born on Sunday. Go ahead, Laura.
It is clear for me because I understand what you are saying.
I'm glad. It's just I don't know if other people will understand it, so I have to ask that question. I'm glad you do. Here is what is written on the Hashem webpage regarding the tikkun of people born on Sunday. Generally, people born on Sunday have a tikkun associated with unification, because the energy of Sunday, of Yom Echad, is unity. During their life, they will be presented with opportunities to learn the life lessons of how do I unify people and not cause them to be separated due to my actions. Please note that this is only one of many tikkunim associated with being born on Sunday. It also applies to the personality. It also applies to the character traits of a person. And just because they're born on Sunday, there are other astrological influences that impact the chart of a person. The Gemara continues that a person born on Monday will be a bad-tempered person. This is coming from the idea that the second day is not the first day. Therefore, the energy of the second day has the potential of separation. The Bible says that the waters were divided by a firmament on Monday. This is what is involved with a person being bad-tempered. Do you have a question, Laura? Because I'm getting background noise.
No, I don't have right now questions, because I have studied astrology, so it's clear for me what you are talking about.
Good. Press star 6. The background noise is coming through because you're on a direct connection right now. Thank you. I'm also not going to be able to finish as much material as I wanted to finish today, so maybe we'll just finish Monday, and then we'll, before we go on to the rest of the week, might be a good time to break, but we'll take a look at that. The Gemara continues that a person born on Monday will be a bad-tempered person. This is coming from the idea that the second day is not the first day. Therefore, the energy of the second day has the potential of separation. The Bible says that the waters were divided by a firmament on Monday. This is what is involved with a person being bad-tempered. Here is what is said on the Hashem website. Generally, people born on Monday have a tikkun associated with separation. During their life, they will be presented with opportunities to learn the life lessons of how do I appreciate, how do I honor and elevate the diversity of life and people around me. Please note that this is only one of the many tikkunim associated with being born on Monday. Do not make the mistake of thinking that the physical birth on Monday makes someone bad-tempered. This is a character trait that is created by the soul and its correction. That is why the soul chose to be born on Monday. I ask, do you understand again? I know you do, Laura. Astrology is an effect, not a cause. Astrology is a tool of the Creator to achieve moving people into situations where their tikkun can be achieved, providing they make the correct decision at that moment. If they make the, quote, wrong decision, they will be given another chance. If they achieve their tikkun, then when the astrology would bring them into a situation that gives them that opportunity, there is another astrological influence that causes this situation to not manifest. It is no longer needed because they achieved their tikkun. This is very consistent with the idea of multiple influences, multiple universes. And I am going to stop here rather than continue because it's a good breaking point. Are there any questions? Laura, now's the time to press star 6 and let me know. I'm hearing you, so if you have a question, just speak out or just say no, I have no questions.
When you are saying that we are influenced by multiple universes, you are talking about different other forces or different other energies, for example, the planets like Moon, Sun, and Jupiter.
Yes. The different planets have different energies. The different energies influence us in different ways. And our lives are a mixture of all of those influences. And that's what a reading of an astrological chart helps us understand how those energies are mixing and working together and separate and working the opposite of each other so that we begin to understand all of these influences. Is that clear?
It is, yes. Thank you.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Richard. I hear you fine. How are you?
I'm just doing fine. We're in astrology this week.
Yes, we are. That's what we've just been covering.
Okay. I was born in May. You can send me a astrological.
Richard, I'm not going to give you an answer as to what an individual was done is until we get to the discussion of May. Well, we haven't even started there. To this week, we're talking about what day of the week were you born? What you're used to calling astrology is not Hebrew astrology. Hebrew astrology is much more sophisticated, much more involved, and deals with things like the hour of your birth. It deals with things the day of your birth. It deals with very minute aspects, as well as the month and the year. And all of that information gives you information about your correction. And that's what we'll be going over as we do this material week by week.
Okay.
So I'm sorry you missed part of the class, but we'll be sending you a recording of it.
All right, I appreciate that, Hanuk.
So I'm getting this static still. If there's no other questions, or if you have a question, please ask it.
No, I don't have questions. Thank you, Hanuk.
Okay, thank you, Laura. Thank you, Richard. I'm just reminding you briefly and quickly that Wednesday night at 10 p.m. and is the Hilulah of Rashi, so please join me. And on Thursday night at 9 p.m. Now, these are West Coast time, so add an hour for yourselves. But at 9 p.m. West Coast of time is the Rosh Chodesh connection. So I hope you'll come listen and join us, because this is the time when you can take control of the month. This is the time to really make the month ahead positive. And part of that making it positive is knowing what to expect, which is what we discuss. So I wish you all a good night and look forward to speaking to you later this week.
I will. Thank you, Hanuk. Have a great evening.
You too. Take care, Richard. Take care, Laura. Shalom.
Shalom.